Hello, this is Robert Rickover at AlexanderAudio.com, and this is my second interview with Mark Josephsberg, an Alexander teacher in Manhattan, New York City. His website, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit, is MarkJosephsberg.com, MarkJosephsberg.com. And again, welcome to the show, Mark.
Robert, thank you.
Mark, I'm very interested in talking to you about your experience on the internet. You have a really nicely designed website. I think it's actually a WordPress blog, technically, right?
I think it is too.
And I want to get to that you're not sure. anyway, it's a beautiful site. It kind of is a combination of a website and a blog together.
I'm writing this down.
Yes. Mark also has a little video of him. I think it's under 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That has been out there on YouTube for a couple of years now and is one of the top two or three videos, Alexander Technique videos on YouTube. It's gotten many tens of thousands of hits. Mm-hmm. And Mark, I know because I'm there too, is active on Twitter.
That's right. And that's pretty new for me, actually.
It's new for me too, and I want to talk about all of those formats. Is there anything else you do that I'm not aware of on the web?
Oh, on the web. No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm always trying to search for something to do just to spread the technique and spread myself around.
A man after my own heart.
Nice.
You had told me earlier before this conversation that that you didn't actually know a lot about the technical side of it, that you didn't set up the website, although I assume you do the editing of it yourself, which...
Well, I do write. I write everything.
Right. But you don't... I mean, the editing you do doesn't require much in the way of technical skills, right?
No, if it did, I wouldn't be able to do it.
You wouldn't be doing it. Yeah. And Twitter certainly doesn't require any technical skills. And YouTube... someone must have produced that video for you.
Exactly.
I wonder if you could just say, at some point, you must have figured out that the web was a good place to put yourself out there on. And
right. I figured that it was like the only place I could really think of.
And so what did you do at that point? Since you said you don't really have the technical skills to create a website yourself, what was your strategy?
Strategy. Well, I originally had a website that was one of those free Earthlink.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Uh-huh.
Right. And it was pretty much a mess. You know, actually, like the type was all different sizes, and it was pretty crazy, but I did it myself, and it was free.
And did it get you some students?
It did get me some students.
And I want to emphasize that because even a kind of a crummy free website is a lot better than no website.
I think so. As far as getting students, if that's what you're interested in, yes.
Yes, exactly. And then what happened next?
Then I met a student, or I was teaching a student who said that he was good with websites and not web designs, but websites and, technical stuff on the web. He said, would you like to do a barter for the lessons? And at that time I said, this would mean that I would have to like give up a student sort of, you know, but I went ahead with it. It took him quite a while to set up this website. And then he told me that this particular website was going to involve me doing a lot of writing because it's kind of, I think he called it a magazine format. So he said, as long as you're okay with that, that's what he thought I should do. And I started writing and he started setting up the website and it was in limbo for actually a couple of months. It took him a lot longer than he thought it was going to. He was busy with other things. And then finally he set it up and it looks pretty good. And it does require a lot of writing.
Right. It's a site that is hosted by WordPress, I believe.
Right, that's right.
And they're a company that gives you free blogs, and then yours might be one that you have to pay a little something for, is that right?
You would think that I would know the answer to that, wouldn't you?
But it, whatever it is, it's not going to be very much if you
no,
are
I mean,
for
I think
it.
I'm paying $6 a month.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Something like that.
You've got kind of the fancy version of WordPress.
I think so. I think it's like a couple of years old. I mean, my website isn't, but you know, the style or whatever is just a couple of years behind the times.
Maybe. Right, right. And the reason I wanted to mention that is that a lot of Alexander teachers, and this is really for whom this conversation is taking place, have very strange ideas about how much it costs to actually have a website. You went the WordPress web/blog route with a monthly payment. Someone could also have a website that is totally their own and just pay a hosting fee, which would probably run around $5 a month, and can get a site very nicely designed for $150, which isn't very much. So I wanted to kind of put that in here, that it's not a lot of money to be on the web.
Absolutely not. And you could have a beautiful site that's basically free.
Exactly, exactly. And that you can outsource the technical side of it.
If you know somebody, if you have a friend, if you have a student, you could barter.
Mm-hmm. And I'll put in a little plug for we have a couple of people who design websites for Alexander teachers that I reference on my website, and I particularly recommend a woman named Imogen Ragone in Wilmington, who does beautiful sites for $150. Really nice sites.
That's great. And yours, by the way, is a beautiful site.
Well, she's redoing mine.
Yeah.
Have you seen the redone version?
I believe I have.
Yeah, she does wonderful work. She's got a real nice artistic sensibility. And, of course, she's an Alexander teacher. So
I think that helps.
That's kind of a plus. Yeah. Okay, so it's the point I'm hoping that we made here is that it's not a big deal to get a website. If you don't know anything, you can find someone to do it all for you.
It's in the initiation of the movement of making a website.
Perfect, right. Right. Now, the video, which is, as I said, in the top two or three of YouTube, and gets, I imagine, at least 100, 200 hits a day. I mean, it's got at least 40 or 50,000 visitors at this point. That was pretty professionally done on a small scale, it looks like to me.
Well, I'll say thank you for the guy that did it. It was, again, it was a student.
Mm-hmm.
Who I volunteered. He said, I'll do a video, and we bartered.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually a film student.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went out there and just started filming. I mean, I had some ideas of what I wanted to do. I had the idea of what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted
mm-hmm.
to make it very simple. I wanted mm-hmm. to make it practical. And I wanted to kind of say that the Alexander technique is for everything, everyday activities. So, you know, I'm throwing a ball and I'm mm-hmm. just walking. And I had the idea that in all those different activities that you're practicing, if I could use that word, practicing the Alexander technique.
Yeah, I think you've done that very effectively. It's a very short, simple, to the point video. We'll put a link next to this interview to that YouTube video. And then I'd like to talk very briefly about Twitter. I see that you tweet once or twice, or maybe a little more a day.
I'm not sure what to do.
You're a regular tweeter, and
I'm trying to tweet. This has been like just a few weeks,
right? And I think that a lot of people have a misconception about Twitter, and I know that I had that misconception until very recently, based on Doonesbury, the comic strip. Have you seen those?
I haven't, no.
It was featured in Doonesbury a few months ago. We're talking, by the way, in January 2010. If you hear this interview in a year or two, I'm sure a lot of the details of what we're talking about will be obsolete. But Twitter can be a very self-indulgent thing where you post every minute what you're doing, and that's sort of how I imagined it before I actually checked it out, and I thought, why would I ever want to do that?
Me too.
But technically, Twitter is often lumped in with other social networking sites like Facebook and what's the other big one? I can't remember. But Facebook would be a classic social networking site. And it can be used that way. But actually, Twitter is best understood as a kind of real-time search engine. That is, it's like Google, but just for the last week or two.
Yeah,
and it's interesting. And that's how a lot of people use it. They type in a search term, and if something is getting a lot of buzz, if you type in Alexander Technique, for example, you may get an awful lot of pretty interesting results, and that in turn can affect longer term trends. So it's kind of an in the moment process, or in the moment being a 2 or 3 week period. But it's a great way to get information out there quickly. And the longer you're on it, the more followers you have, as I'm sure you know, and the more likely the really nice thing can happen, which is one of your tweets can go viral. And sooner or later, Mark, one of your tweets is going to go viral, and you'll instead of just getting a dozen or so hits on your site from it, you might get hundreds or thousands.
Wow, and I'm going to assume, of course, going viral is a good thing.
Going viral is a wonderful thing, and Twitter is perfectly designed to allow something to go
viral. Well, now I know why I'm on Twitter.
So now you know why you're there. But
thank you.
I assume that when you decided to actually get onto Twitter, it wasn't very hard to do, right?
Well, that's what I was hoping. I mean, a lot of people tweet, you know, and I was wondering the same thing you were wondering at first. Why am I doing this? Or why would I be interested in somebody that's saying that they just ate a ham sandwich?
Right. But I'm saying it wasn't hard to do technically.
Technically. No, evidently it wasn't, because I did it.
Yeah. It's the interface is so simple and so direct that really anyone can start tweeting in a few minutes.
That's right.
And there's some rules, and there's some little techniques that you can pick up. And but it's a wonderful way of passing on information. If you see an article that you like about the technique, or you can just put it out there on Twitter, and with any luck, quite a few people will end up finding out about it.
That's right. One of the things about it, actually, to be serious just for half a second, is that it's 140 characters.
That's
a tweet.
Right.
It's very, very short. And I have been reading a lot, actually. And after the included in the 144 characters, you could put a website. And I have visited a lot of websites, and I've actually learned quite a lot from Twitter.
Yes, it's a wonderful tool. It's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and by the way, I'm Alexander Tech NY. That's
okay, Alexander Tech NY. Yes, and if you're an Alexander teacher and you are thinking about getting on Twitter, the most important decision for you to make is your username.
Is that true?
Absolutely. You want a name that has some resonance. A lot of people use abbreviations of their own name or whatever, and that's not really, I mean, that's okay, but it has no recognition factor.
Hmm.
So you've got a good one.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's clear that you're in New York, and it's pretty clear that you're involved with the Alexander Technique.
Wait, and what's your Twitter name?
Body Learning, a craven ripoff of a book title.
Yes, a very popular book.
Very popular Alexander book,
right.
Yeah. And I actually got someone else into human posture, and I forget, another person came on from my suggestion and came up with a nice name. So there's still some good names out there. I recommend highly that if you're an Alexander teacher, it probably is not the it's probably best if you have a website first, because you can put that website on your Twitter page and then join Twitter, and you'll find that it's really easy to come up with a tweet a day or every couple of days. It's not that hard.
That's right.
It doesn't take that much time. Is there anything else you want to share with other Alexander teachers about your internet experience?
I can't think of anything at the moment, but if I do, I'll call everybody up and tell them.
Call them all. And I assume that you've gotten a fair number of students from all of this.
I'm hoping, yeah. I mean, somehow through the web, I've gotten some students, yes.
Right. So, I think that's all we need to talk about right now. Thanks so much for being on the show. I've been talking to Mark Josephsberg, a teacher in New York City, and his website is markjosephsberg.com. This is Robert Rickover at alexanderaudio.com.